Excuse me. Coming through. I got a stool up there. Excuse me. I got a ticket. Excuse me, sir. That's my stool. Yes, I do have a ticket, and here it is. Okay, well, that's not a valid ticket you have there. It's, look at mine. It's got a hologram on it. Yours, somebody drew on it with a sparkly marker or something. Or maybe they glued some aluminum foil. And that came out of a printer. What is that? I mean, that's like ordinary inkjet paper. You're not going to have an inaugural ticket with... Please, sir, this is a legitimate ticket. You know it is. I know it is. The American people know it. So if you could just... Thank you. Thank you. Man, scalping tickets. How low can you get? Printing up your own tickets. How low can you get on a moment of history like this? Right, but, you know, this isn't the most comfortable place to be here. I'm glad I didn't pay for it. I was comped. But I got somebody right to the left of me. Can you watch the elbows, buddy? Thank you. I got somebody wedged in between the stools to my right. And I got somebody wedged into the stools on my left. And they're standing up, so I'm pretty much looking at your smalls of people's backs and the like. Great sight. Can't see anything. And I've never seen this place so packed in my life. I've never seen it so packed. The entire diner is full of people. Every square of linoleum has been sold. Every one of them is occupied by people. I don't know why I'm talking like Richard Lewis. But, you know, the black and white checked pattern that they have on diner floors, well, the management sold every single one of those as an individual standing spot, which is causing some sort of problems because not everybody, of course, can fit on one square of linoleum. So there's a lot of overlap. There's people who are sort of shifting around. There's just a general seething mass of people packed in here for this historic moment. Outside in the parking lot, again, I'm talking like Richard Lewis, there's got to be, well, satellite photos indicate that there's something like 200 people out there, and the highway patrol is on the highway, and they're helping people come in. But nobody's leaving, of course. Nobody's going to leave until the event is over. Traffic is backed up for miles. It's a historic day here at the diner. It's one, frankly, that a lot of us never thought would come, but here it is. It's the day when the diner is swearing in a new chef. He's the 144th chef that the diner has ever had. Now, 144 chefs in the diner's 50, 60-odd years of history, it's a lot of chefs. And you must understand that that's not unusual, frankly, because turnover is high. But because they get hepatitis and they leave, or they're chased out, or they just, you know, they leave the eggs, hollandaise, Benedict sauce out, and it gets, you know, kills everyone, and you know, so you got a lot of turnover in your clientele and your chefs. Now, I'd like to note that the rich and wonderful, varied history of chefs at the diner includes, of course, our friend the Dark Chef, who, as we know, was sucked into some necromantic alternate dimension. And if he knows what's good for him, he won't be showing up today, because as much as we would love to see him, I think it would cast a pall on the event to have the most famous chef of them all manifest himself, especially stinking of pitch and brimstone and the rest of it. I had to give up my keys at the door. They've confiscated anything that might be used as a weapon. And I didn't even know I had a weapon on me. Except for the knife I was using to jab people in the butt on the way in. Seriously, I have on my watch, or on my my watch fob, I almost said. What am I? From the 19th century? My key fob. It's the only fob people have anymore, isn't it? You may fob something off on anybody, but the only fob that men own are their key fobs. If that's the technical term. And it has a little tiny Swiss Army knife on it. It has several useful functions. It has a scissors, which is great for cutting little tags off things your daughter buys at Target, after you've purchased them, of course. And it has a small little knife. It has a useless emery board. I don't know what that is for. It's apparently these knives were designed with the expectation that I would need to file down the claws of a dog, because it's just blunt and useless. You can't do anything with it. But the knife itself, I keep sharp. I hone it from time to time. But I never seem to use it for its intended purpose, which is stabbing something. You'll use it to open up a package from Amazon or clean your fingernails, perhaps. But what's the point of having a knife if you can't stab something from time to time? I used to walk around with that thing in Washington, D.C., thinking, come on, come on, come on, I got a knife. If I'm ever jumped by member of the Lollipop Guild. Now I'm all set. But this seemed a good opportunity, so as I was trying to make my way through the parking lot, I just flipped the little knife open and swung my arm back and forth and merrily jabbed people in the buttocks, and it's surprising the alacrity and speed with which people will get out of your way when they have been thusly poked. Made it to the front door, which is where they confiscated my knife. No matter, I will get it back when the festivities conclude. I'm not exactly sure when they're going to begin, though. We don't know what time the new chef is going to come out and give his address. When he takes the podium, it's not really a podium. He's going to be speaking at the counter where the cash register is. There's a chef's seal that they've draped over. Actually, it's a plate, and they sort of drew a... They drew chef on it and kind of hung the... They didn't hang the plate. They leaned it up against the cash register, so if anybody bumps that thing, it's going down. Oh, and it's also very cute. For the pictures, they wanted to, since he's the 144th, they put 140. They entered $1.44 in the register. So the picture will be the seal, which is a plate with chef written on it in magic marker, leaning up against the podium, which is the cash register with 144 there in the dollar amount, except, of course, the cash register automatically calculated tax, so now it looks like he's the 162nd chef. Well, they can redo that later, if they wish. So we don't know when he's going to come out. We don't know what he's going to say. And in the meantime, I'm just going to have to sit here and do what I normally do. Let's take a look at the jukebox, shall we? Let us see what it has been stocked with since the last time we met and put in a nickel. Let's go right to the top and go to A1. His salary.
I live in a big white house on Pennsylvania Avenue. I always hide behind the desk in Daddy's den. When I play hide and seek with Secret Service men,
Sparrow's behind the desk.
My dad.
He was yelling on the phone about some pigs in a Cuban bay.
I don't play house, I play the game of government.
You gotta play the house. You gotta play the Senate too. They'll play you. It's a hard-nosed world, kid, and the faster you win. Uncle
My
Ted.
Daddy is president. We make a happy pair. I go for my pony rides. He rides in his rocking chair. No matter what I do, it makes a news event. Cause my daddy is the president.
Aww. That's so sweet. Well, we may be hearing more of that in the years to come, I guess. As we actually have some... Well, I'm looking forward, frankly. I understand that the new chef has a couple of young kids, and... What? Oh. Oh. I guess I misheard. Got a couple of snakes. Wonderful. We've got a herpetologist for a... Or a herpophile, would that be it, for a new chef? That's one of the things I'm looking forward to about the Obama administration. What, did you think this was some elaborate metaphor or something? Anyway, he's got two adorable little kids. I look forward to hearing more about them. All right, let's see. Are they ready? No, they're not even close. Not even close. Let us go back to the jukebox and see what we have here. I'm just going to flip it random and go to M2. That would be the money supply. Or is that M1? No, M1 was the computer in Star Trek. Or was that M4? That was M4. Right, was there ever an M3? That's a highway in Great Britain. There's M5, which of course is the British Secret Service, and M6, which is a bulletproof briefcase made by Halliburton. I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, somebody knocked over the chef's seal. All right. Well, song people, any time now. This is sounding pretty presidential. What's it about?
God, in his infinite wisdom, put Richard Nixon on this earth.
This earth?
To bring to us his heritage. One of priceless worth. A courageous leader and a blessed man. Surely in God's plan.
So rhyming it with mirth and girth is pretty much out of the question. What the devil is it?
God in his infinite wisdom.
This God.
Put Richard Nixon on this earth.
The God we all know and love, right?
To bring to us his heritage. One of priceless worth.
We're talking about the same
his
Nixon, earth, and God, right?
From heaven. And the magic from above. The rapture of music and melody, of culture and of love.
It's the 49th verse, same as the first?
Yes, God in his infinite wisdom.
What'd he do, that God?
Put Richard Nixon on this earth.
Why'd he do that thing?
To bring to us his heritage.
Which was?
One of priceless worth. A leader with endless courage. A miracle, you might say.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
And all who have met Nixon love him so. The genius of his way.
This would make Kim Il-jong blush. Tone it down, guys. You're embarrassing me.
God, in his infinite wisdom, put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage.
Let me guess.
One of priceless worth. God, in his infinite wisdom, put Richard Nixon on this earth to bring to us his heritage. One of priceless worth.
Wow, that's truly awful. God, let me see. Let me get that straight. It was God, right? God in his, something about his capacity for making good judgments, his wisdom, that was it. Were there any bounds or parameters to his wisdom? No, I believe that God in his infinite wisdom put Richard Nixon on this, this earth, like a... Sort of just took out those gigantic celestial tweezers and picked him up by the collar and placed him right in Washington. Okay. All right. Well, that should do it for the presidential hagiography here. Hagiography, of course, meaning a word referring to the three witches in Macbeth, or hags, who began that famous Scottish play by talking of the trials and struggles that would soon befall Macbeth. And so any song about a great leader has been called hagiography ever since Macbeth, or the Scottish play, as they say. Because you can't say the name Macbeth in any theatrical environment. If you say Macbeth, apparently everybody dies, and the production is ruined. It's cursed. It's like having a woman on board a pirate ship. Just bad juju all around. How this got started, I have absolutely no idea. I think if I were immortal, if I lived forever, and I was a constant 24, 25 or so, and I had a certain amount of charisma, and I would think that after 200-300 years of living on the planet, you would develop at least the means to fake charisma, I would pursue a role in theater. I would spend 30, 40 years treading the boards and wait until I had an incredible reputation. And then one day, backstage at the theater, before we were to go on to play the Scottish play, I would say, let's all have a good time with Macbeth, shall we? All right, let's do Macbeth. Macbeth for everybody. Ha ha! I don't want to see any broken legs out there. All right, hale and hearty and firm of limb, let's go do Macbeth. What do you say? And then watch everyone's faces drop. He said it. And then, you know, one of two things can happen. Either nothing happens, and the whole rumor is, the whole theatrical suspicion is dispelled forever, in which case I would be more than happy to have added my part to the thespian lore. Or two, something horrible goes wrong. For that matter, you could actually hire somebody, because if you'd lived for 200-300 years, you were smart, you'd amassed a substantial amount of money, enough so that you could create any scenario you wished. You could have somebody sneak into the theater and saw the sandbags. As we all know, up above every theater in America are a bunch of heavy sandbags, which are only used to kill people, or to be dropped on actresses who then narrowly at the last minute spring aside. But I'd send somebody up there with a knife to drop a sandbag on somebody's head. I mean, what are they going to do? They can't press charges on you for saying Macbeth backstage, even if somebody died in the process. Granted, it would be a rather cruel way to prove the point, but, you know, if you're immortal, I think you start to see your fellow human beings less as individuals and more like objects to be moved around the chessboard for your own pathetic, horrible, black-hearted amusement, which is why we are mortal, something that God, in his infinite wisdom, has done for us. And Nixon. All right, what's next here? Looks like the chef is no more ready to... I haven't even seen the guy, frankly. None of us have seen him. That's just the... they hired him. Because the last guy went to Mexico with the day's receipts, and they had to get somebody new in, and they put an ad in the paper, which is a very curious thing to do in these days, because you're guaranteed to get people who don't have internet. Because as we all know, if you want an ad to be fulfilled or you want to sell something, you go to Craigslist, don't you? Craigslist. It's not okay to contact this seller with commercial information. I hate that. It's at the bottom of every Craigslist ad. It's not okay, man. How about when you just say it's wrong or don't do it, but to say it's not okay to contact this seller with commercial. It's not okay. It's uncool. Just say it's wrong, for heaven's sakes. But we can't say that. Oh, no, we can't say something's wrong. We can't say something is forbidden that would harsh the mellow of Craigslist. Bitter because they killed my business? Nah. Anyway, they had to put an ad in the paper, so they got a guy who apparently fit all the bills and didn't seem to have any separating facial chancres and could work the grill with speed. So they hired him, and we're still waiting on... Still waiting for him to show. This, frankly, is the 17th inaugural of a chef that we've had in the last couple of months. So I'm still surprised that there are as many people as here as they are. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. Hope it's nothing presidential. I'm getting rather tired of poorly executed presidential tunage. Let's go to G2. Yeah, get down with your bad self. Or as my English teacher used to say, your bad self is that with which you should get down.
Can our government be competent?
What?
Jimmy Carter says yes.
What?
Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yeah.
As your president, I, Jimmy Carter, know it is possible to run a government efficiently without sin or any corruption. I will do my level best to run the government decently without any statement of eruption. Errors and wrongdoings I will reveal to the public. Corruption while I'm in office, I'll not bargain. I'll stand tall like Old Glory, faithful to the Republic.
security will prevail, as sure as I am the president. President Jimmy Carter. Can a government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government...
Okay, just calm down, everybody. Calm down. It's over. Good Lord. All right, well, do we have an ETA? We do not, so I think this would be as good a time as any for me to avail myself of the facilities, wash my hands, and then fight my way back to my seat, and we'll be back after a word from some of our sponsors.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Floors, doors, walls, halls, white sidewall tires, and old golf balls.
Sinks, stoves, bathtubs, he'll do. He'll even help clean laundry, too.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute.
Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it.
Can he clean a kitchen sink?
Quicker than a wink.
Can he clean a window sash?
Faster than a flash.
Can he clean a dirty mirror?
He'll make it bright and clearer.
Can he clean a diamond ring?
Mr. Clean cleans anything.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and grime and grease in just a minute. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
You know, I wish we knew a little bit more about this new chef. Yeah, we don't know what his opinion is, for example, in the matter of medium-rare hamburgers. There's no law that says you can't serve them, but people get so bent out of shape about disease that no place even serves them anymore. They grill them until they're brown all the way through, not a trace of pink. I'd like to know where he stands on that. Well, perhaps we might have some indications when he gives his inaugural address and tells us the changes that he plans to make to the menu. Now, in all fairness, if you go back and look at the history of the previous inaugural addresses of the 143 chefs who have preceded them, there's just a lot of lofty statements there. There's a promise that eggs will not be runny unless they are asked to be, that pancakes shall be circular and not elliptical, that your sausage shall be evenly browned on all sides, that your bacon shall be cooked exactly to your specifications, that your buns will be toasted. Yes, we are a diner that can toast your bun the way you want it. That is who we are, that is who we have always been, and that is who we will be. In other words, a lot of statements that don't necessarily play out over the course of a particular chef's tenure. So what he says I'm looking more for tenor, for style, for, if you will, to reach back to the traditions of chefs past. For example, we've had chefs who had their own way with the setups that you put on a California burger. Some of them had the tomato in the middle and the lettuce on the bottom, and that's the way it's been. And every once in a while, you get a guy who comes in and promises bold experimentations when it comes to the accoutrements that you put on a burger, and, history judges them accordingly. There was a time there, for example, when the pickle spear was regarded as unchangeable, that this simply was the way things were. And then we had, I think, under the tenure of the chef, the 121st chef, he went to a crinkle-cut pickle slice. And looking back now, a lot of people think that that really was the right move, that no longer did you have that entire pickle spear sitting there uneaten at the end, but people actually used the crinkle-cut pickle slice. And for all we know, people who had previously regarded the pickle itself as a large, big, chopped-off Martian finger sitting on the edge of your plate were encouraged to expand their gustatory horizons by little changes like that. I guess what I'm saying, it's not what they say they're going to do. It's the things that they actually end up doing, and oftentimes it's the small details that really make a difference. As we shall see. Well, oh, they're they've gone over to the main jukebox and they're putting in a quarter, so they must be getting ready for some sort of inaugural music. Let's all stand. Of course. Hail to the chef. Hold on. It's the waitress. She's not looking happy. She's writing something on the chalkboard menu. The chef overslept and missed his shift. Applications. It's two P's. Two P's. Now being taken for employment. See within. Oh. Well, that's a bit of an anticlimax. I can see somebody's going outside to tell the people in the parking lot. Hope they respond well. Well, at least we have our swearing-in memorabilia, which we can sell on eBay now, which probably will be worth more because it didn't happen. And it's quality collectible stuff. Actually, it's just a Domino sugar packet with 144th chef inauguration written on it with a Sharpie. So it's all bleeding and it made the sugar inside look black. Well, a diner isn't defined by who's behind the grill. It's defined by the people inside, isn't it? People who come here every day and sit down and open the menus and do the work of eating food. Which can't be served because there's no one to prepare it. But wait a minute. What are we, infants, children? We have to sit around waiting for our maws to be filled by somebody else? This is America. We're individuals, self-reliant people. We can do this ourselves. You, there, fill up the squeeze, please, ketchup bottles. You, there, I want all the condiments topped off, even the pepper, even though no one uses it. It looks good when it's filled. You, I want silverware on every table. I'm going back to handle the kitchen. Thank you very much. This diner will go on. As long as you just order cereal, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. Thanks for dropping by, folks. This has been The Diner for Friday, January 23rd, 2009. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road.